in the office at the time, which totally stunned me, and they didn't say anything while this was going on.
Susan.
It is that type of personal testimony that just needs to sound a loud alarm here. We have got, as a nation, we have got to fix this system, and Secretary Gates is responsible for doing so.
And I would call on Secretary Shinseki as well, the head of the VA, to really look at local VA hospitals and provide a safe patient area for women and men who are survivors of sexual trauma. I mean, this is not an isolated case. There's so much re-triggering of trauma among sexual trauma survivors at VA hospitals. The staff is not trained. Even medical professionals themselves are re-triggering post-traumatic stress and depression in their patients by being callous.
All right, let's go now to Jim in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I do want to reach out to Ann and say, I surely hope you've gotten some help. Jim, you're on the air.
Thank you, ma'am. I'm a retired Navy Lieutenant Commander, 22 years, recently retired. I did the first half of my career as an enlisted man, and I want to make sure that well, first of all, let me say that anyone who has gone through some sort of sexual assault or anything like that, my heart goes out to them. There's absolutely nothing worse, and I don't want you to think that I am lessening that at all. However, I do want the listeners to know that it's not some big misogynistic party that's going on out there. It happens. I think it's a question of leadership. I've always been on the side of the ladies in my command. They've always trusted me because I've always been the one standing up for them. And I also wanted to ask, what about things like the Article 15, you can't be made to accept Article 15. You can always take that to what we call captain's mass, or you can always take that to court-martial, rather. You don't have to accept what we call captain's mass or Article 15. And that's one thing. And the second thing is, if that doesn't go like you want it to, don't we always have redress of wrong? And I'll take my... I'll take the comments off the air.
All right. Thanks. Susan.
I think the point about leadership is correct. And if we look at the recent media reports, it's very clear that the military tolerates within its ranks leadership that is openly misogynistic. And I refer to the naval commander with these raunchy videos. It was known about for years and absolutely nothing was done until finally the media picked it up. The other issue in terms of the redress and the Article 15, the reality is that the people that are coming forward are told that they have no redress. They are told that they have to abide by gag orders, that they are not free to speak of it to anyone, that they don't have any rights, and that they merely need to accept the situation. So these people are being advised by their superiors that they essentially have checked their constitutional rights at the door when they join the military.
Susan Burke. She's plaintiff's lead lawyer in the lawsuit against the Pentagon, and you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. Anup Bhagwati, how is rape and sexual assault different in the military than it is in the general public?
Well, I think, we need to understand that military culture is completely different than the civilian world. As a service member, you can't quit your job if you're attacked, harassed, or raped. You can't transfer to another community. You are stuck with your perpetrator and with the chain of command you have. There's very limited redress, which requires, you to take a giant leap of faith and really risk putting your career at an end by stepping forward. You're dealing with a system that thrives on power, on rank structure, and intimidation. It's very unsafe to step forward unless you are guaranteed protection. And right now, there is no guarantee to your protection or that you'll ever get justice for the crime.
Rebecca, tell us how you're doing psychologically.
It's challenging. You think that you are ready to face things like this.